Well, it's exciting what today is. Anybody know what today is? Sunday. It's the first football game. Right, well, we had one on Thursday, but I don't count that one. So we're going to start with today. The NFL season starts today. It's really funny. First service, they so are into sports, and they're like, I don't know. So it could be, we could be excited about football today, right? We could be excited about the Colts, but there's not a lot to be excited about. But what I'm excited about today is that we are starting a new series. We have gone for the summer, and we have done a summer series where we have looked at Proverbs, where we looked at truths in the Proverbs and helped us to learn how to live this foolproof life. Today we start a new series, and the new series is called Beloved. Over the next 3 weeks, we're going to look at what it means to be the church, the collective beloved of God. That is to say, it's the Big C Church. And when I mean Big C Church, I mean all of the church, not just Level 13 Church. This is Little C Church. Big C Church is all of the churches. It's that church, the church down the road, all of them together. It's the whole body of Christ. It is the beloved of Christ. And once we nail that down this week, next week, we're going to talk about how the Big C Church helps us as believers, as followers of Jesus, to be loved. How do we know that we are loved in this world? We are to be loved. And then finally, our third week, we're going to dive into how that informs our local expression. Right, the local expression of the church is Level 13 Church right here. And we're going to talk about how, as a church, we are to be love in our community. So I wanted to start the series today by just having a little conversation about the church. And normally a conversation is two-sided. Today it's pretty one-sided. I am going to talk and you're going to listen. But I want you to join in the conversation in your head. You know, we won't think you're crazy. That is totally fine. I want you to think things. I want you to say things to yourself. I want you to picture things, whatever that is. I want you to be part of the conversation because I want to ask you to answer the question, what is the church? What is it? And is it really all that important? And if it is important, why? Why is the church important? My guess is if we lived in a city where there's busy sidewalk traffic and we did a little like man on the street type thing where we interviewed people and we asked them questions. If we asked the questions, how would you define the church? My guess is we would have a myriad of answers. We'd get answers from all sides, a huge gamut of responses to what the church is and how to define the church. I think some would just simply laugh at the question because the church isn't relevant to them at all. It's not important to them at all. I think others might see the church in the same category that we might think of a museum, right? Something, institution that preserves the past. And the church is just simply a group of people holding on to the past. I think some people might couch their answer in political terms. Right? Like the church is this powerful voting bloc who is stuck on Fox News and who is trying to guide the moralities of America. I think people would think of the church in that way. I imagine the church will bring out all kinds of emotions, all kinds of thoughts. I think one thing people would think about is rules. Like, I can't do this. I can't do that. Based on their experience of church, they might think of rules. I think for sure that they would think of a particular building, maybe a place that they went when they grew up, that their grandparents took them to, their parents took them to, the vacation Bible school. Maybe they would just think of the church on their road in their neighborhood. They would definitely think of a building. My guess is that they would think of hurts from their past. Being part of a church where they really felt hurt. And I'm sure we would get some answers that were couched in hate and judgment. Because too much in our world people know about what the church is against and not what they're for. If we're lucky, we might get a couple people who say that the church is important because it helps to meet physical needs, it helps to meet emotional needs, it helps to meet spiritual needs. The church reaches people during pivotal times in their life, whether it be a birth or a death or a marriage or a time of crisis. So my question is, that I want you to answer, is how would you describe the church? How would you describe the church? The New Testament authors describe the church as the ecclesia. Right? The ecclesia is a called out assembly of people. A called out assembly of people. Paul describes the church in Rome as the loved or the beloved and the called. In Romans chapter 1, verse 7, he's addressing the church in Rome, and he says, to all those in Rome who are loved by God, other translations say beloved by God, and called to be saints. In the book of Colossians, Paul says the church is chosen and beloved. Chapter 3, verse 12 says, put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. He describes the church as God's chosen, as holy, and as beloved. And then he tells them to put on, act out in your hearts, compassion and kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. That's the church. So as a believer or one who has said yes to Jesus, you are the beloved. You are loved by God. You were called out to be set apart, to be part of the 2.2 billion people across the earth who shine the light of Jesus to all of the world. Now you might be thinking, the beloved, like that's not a word we say, right? We don't talk like that. It's not something that's a part of our everyday common language. So let me explain it a little bit this way. What's the difference between just love and the beloved? This fall, we're having three different marriages, young couples in our midst that are getting married. One of them is right here, Nate and Micah. Woohoo! Yes. Totally excited. It's been really cool walking through life with them and with the other two couples as we just kind of prepare to be married like you could be prepared to be married, right? Where we try our best and talk about the important topics and so forth. It's really cool. I love weddings. I love weddings. You know, there's two things that pastors do, and it's just a given. This is what they do. They do funerals and they do weddings. And they're hugely important in the life of the church. Hugely important. They're pivotal times in life where people are pursuing something. So it's really important that we're a part of that. A lot of pastors, they like funerals better, right? Because they can't say anything wrong, really. And so at weddings, you can mess things up all the time. I mess things up all the time. I think one time I said, do you take her, when I was talking to the bride, to be your wedded wife? I mean, I've done things like that. And I think the last time I've done stupid things, the last time I said, who gives this woman to be married to this woman? Wait, who gives this? Totally messed that up, right? But weddings are fun, but they're really weird. I mean, wedding ceremonies are really strange if you think about it. So we decide that we want to do this thing in public. You know, a lot of times in a church or in some sort of a setting like that, we spend all sorts of money. We plan the day. We spend all sorts of money, and we invite people to watch us. We invite people to watch us, you know, commit ourselves together, and we invite them for two reasons. One, because, you know, they're part of our life and we love them, right? And two, because they bring gifts. And we hope they bring lots of gifts. You know, that's really the reason. We're like, should we invite them? I don't know. They might bring a good gift. Okay, put them on the list. So we do that, and then they all come together, and then we say things to each other, and we say these words that are like really important words, and it's really kind of a kind of a strange thing that we do, and then we have a party afterwards, and everybody dances or act like they can dance, and they eat, and it's just a lot of, you know, it's a lot of fun. But during the ceremony, words are thrown out, man, and they're big, hugely important and weighty words. You'll hear these ideas of I will always be here. I will never leave. I'm going to give you constant support no matter what's going on in our life. They're weighty words. And with these words, the bride and the groom show their commitment that they have to each other. By saying, I take her to be my wedded wife, to have and to hold from this day forward, through sickness and in health, rich and poor. All of those things, they're sealing their marriage covenant. And they're doing it before people. They're doing it before God. The groom is expressing a special kind of love that he has just for his wife. The wife is expressing a special kind of love that she has just for her husband. He isn't just going to say that to anyone. Right? We don't just say those things to anyone. We don't say, Nick, I commit myself to be your best friend from this day forward, right? Through sickness and in health. We don't say those words, right? We will only say that to the person we're committing our lives to. That doesn't mean I don't love Nick. I love him. But I have a special kind of love for my bride. She's set apart just for me. She is my beloved. This is the called out and set apart thing I'm talking about with the church. God loves everyone. God loves everyone. God so loved the world, everyone, that he sent his one and only Son. He loves everyone. He sent Jesus to die on a cross for everyone. He created everyone. He wants to be in a relationship with everyone. He loves everyone, but he has a different kind of love for the church. It's his beloved. The church is just a little different. That's what it means to be the church, to be the beloved. The church is called out in the beloved people of God. Those are powerful things. And it's really an audacious statement to make, that we are God's beloved, that we are called out, that we are chosen. That's the church. That's what he thinks about the church. Warts and all, right? There's a couple other pictures of the church that we get in Scripture. One of them kind of piggybacks off of what we were just talking about. One thing that we say and we read in Scripture is that the church is the bride of Christ. And I've always thought that was weird. I don't know if you did or not, but I just think it's a little bit weird. Right? It's a little strange. Being the bride of Christ would mean that somehow, in some mysterious way, some spiritual way, we're married to Jesus. And if you were coming in here, not a believer, not knowing anything about this whole Christianity thing or followers of Jesus, if you didn't know anything about it and you heard all of these people saying how much they love Jesus, that might be a little bit weird, especially if you're a guy, because we don't talk like that. We don't say that type of thing. But we are the church, the bride of Christ. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25, it says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. Your spouse is set apart to be loved by you different than any other person in this world. She is your beloved. He is your beloved. The church is the bride, the beloved of Christ. The other picture, another picture we get is that the church is the body of Christ. A couple verses earlier, chapter 23, it says, "For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church." We talk a lot about what that means for a marriage, but I think we get things messed up just a little bit because I think we get confused when we read that the husband is supposed to be the head of his wife. And we think of it as he's the boss, he's in control. But I want you to think of it in just an anatomical way, right? So if the husband is the head is no good without the body, right? Christ is the head of the church. We need each other. We are all part of the body. Christ needs the church to be his expression in this world. We need each other as part of the body. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 says, "For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ." We are the bride of Christ. We are the body of Christ. And the church is, my favorite one, the family of God. I don't know if there's any better description of the church than being the family of God. The last church I was a part of, I was a youth pastor, and I'm pretty sure it was at this church. We sang that song almost every Sunday, didn't we, Woody? That we're all a part of, I'm not going to sing it because it would be horrible, but we're all a part of the family of God. You know, we sing it all the time. We remind ourselves all the time that we are part of the family. We're part of the family of God. And that's the picture that we get. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19, it says, "So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone." And then in John chapter 1, verse 12, it says, "But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God." We, the church, are part of the family. We are his children. What a great, great picture. I think if you think about it, all of these terms and these pictures define the church in a couple different ways. You could say that the church is an organization, and you would not be wrong. It's a set of people that do certain things. They are marked by certain things. Not only are they marked by being the beloved, called out of God, the set apart people of God, but when you look at scriptures, there are certain functions of the church, certain marks of the church. When you would see that, you would be like, that is a church. In the book of Acts, we see the church was marked by being taught by the apostles. We see the church giving to each other, supporting each other, praying for each other, and encouraging each other. That is the church. Those are marks of the church. You notice I didn't say anything about a building. Those are marks of the church. But what I love most about the church is not the fact that it's an organization, but more that the church is an organism. It's not just that it's an organization, it's an organism. And I think the key here is that the church is both. It's both an organization and an organism. It's an organism that works out its presence in the institution and organization of the church. It is both. We have these two camps in the church. We have the one camp that says the church is an organization, the traditional church that sees all of this organism stuff as hippie, right? As all of this stuff, like that's not what that is. We go to church. Right? And we sing this song and we sing that song and we look good and we dress up and sometimes we wear hats and we stand up and sit down when they tell us to stand up and sit down. We follow the rules. This is an organization and we do what the organization says. We have this other camp that says, no, I don't want any of that. We're an organism. In fact, I don't even need to go to church. We just move, right? We just can go anywhere that we want. Both of those are true. We're an organization. There are things that mark us, but we're an organism. We're a living, breathing organism. We're a living, breathing, evolving organism. And because of that, we need constant care and attention. The church needs constant care and attention. When we stop giving it care and attention, it gets old and stale and it dies. This weekend, Melinda and I were at a married couples retreat. And the speaker there was a doctor. His name is Sean Swan. And he has started this project in Haiti called the Decade Project. You know, after the earthquakes and everything, he goes there and he takes nursing students and other doctors and people there to go give care to people in Haiti who need care because they don't have all of that care. And they go and they perform surgeries and they do all of these things. He was telling us this story. That in Haiti, that they'll do the surgery, they'll prep you for it, they'll do the surgery, but post-op, instead of going to recovery, they put you in a place, but it's not their responsibility anymore to take care of that patient. The family is to come in and to take care of that patient. The family comes in and feeds that person. The family comes in and bathes them and cleanses them and changes their wound care things, whatever that may be. He was telling us this story about he went there with a bunch of students. And there was this man who was dying, and he was going to die. I mean, there was just no doubt about it. He had surgery, but nobody came to take care of him. He was all alone. And they didn't have the manpower. They couldn't do that. So he sat there, and just infection set in. They had maggots in his wounds. He was dying. And so Dr. Sean and these students picked this body, nearly lifeless body, took it to another room, cleaned him up, did everything that they possibly could. Some students cleaned the area up because it was just disgusting. And he died. See, when we don't take care of the body, infection starts setting in. Sickness starts setting in. If the church doesn't take care of itself, then sickness sets in. Infection sets in. We are a living, breathing organism that needs constant care and constant attention. Jesus gives us this powerful picture when he said that he is the vine and we are the branches. We, as the church, are a living, breathing, growing thing when we are connected to him. The branches need to be connected to the vine. That is Jesus. That's a powerful picture. But let me give you just a little bit more to that picture. There's another important aspect of the vine. And that's the trellis. You've seen that before, right? Maybe you've seen grape arbors, but there's things that these structures that are in place for the vine and for the branches to know where to go. Right? Without that, it has all problems with direction and where it's growing and anything like that. The trellis is the picture of the church. It's not necessary for us to be alive, but it promotes growth and direction. We, as the body, need the support of the organization, need the support of the trellis underneath us to keep us strong and growing in the way that we're supposed to grow. On the flip side, when we stop working on the organizational side of the church, we run into problems. Right? When the branches grow too big for the trellis, problems arise, directions get confusing. This is why it seems like the local church is always in a constant state of flux and change. You know, if you stay around here too long, you'll see a lot of change. One, because I just really like change. Next week, this stage will look different, right, Bruce? Amen. Constant state of change, and I like that. I really love that. But we have to continue to change. We have to change even to keep up with the growth and to keep up with the size. And we've said this many times in leadership. We have to act our size, not our age. We have to act our size. And it's really easy for us to be a church of 100 people, right? Where we know each other, we love each other. You know, we'll know, it's like cheers, right? Norm. We like that. But we're not a church of 100 people. You know, we're a church of an average of 200 people on a Sunday morning. And then on top of that, we probably have another 100 to 150 people that call Level 13 their home that just aren't here on a weekly basis. So Level 13 church is over 300 people strong. We have to act our size. And I'll be honest, we're not very good at that, right? There's a lot of things because I am not an organizational person at all. Like, not at all. I mean, like, none. Like, no, nothing. Right? My part of the body is to love people, love God, love people, teach, do everything I can, meet with people. If I could meet with people, I meet with a lot of people during my week. If I could just do that, that's like my dream, right? If I can do that and teach, that would be amazing. See, I'm not very good at the organizational side, so we got to have that as well. Or else things just look like chaos. We've got to have both. It is an organization and it is an organism. It's important that we keep up. It's important that we act our size, changing things to accommodate the growth of the branches, the growth of the body. So if all of those are pictures of the what, like what is the church, then what about the why? Why is it important? Beyond the organizational side of things, why is the church important? Here's a couple things as we leave today that I want you to know. Number one, as a Christian, you are incomplete without other Christians. It's a pretty bold statement. But you are incomplete without other Christians. We mentioned this last week. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians in several different verses, let me just kind of sum it up for you. It says, "For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, 'I have no need for you.' Nor again, the head to the feet, 'I have no need for you.' If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. Without the other members of the body, we're incomplete. Simply put, we need each other. You need to be part of a local body. And the local body needs you to be part of it. Your gifts, your abilities that you have, whatever God has given you, your church needs it. And we're not complete without it. So I say, man, commit to the body. Be about the body of Christ. Be about Level 13 if this is what you call home. Be about it. Do everything that you can. Volunteer. Do anything. Because you know why? We are God's, we are Jesus' presence here. It's important. And we have a job. Level 13 has a job. We are one part of the body, and we do that one part pretty good. We have our warts, we have our flaws, but we do it pretty good. But you know what? We wouldn't be any good without that church, without Grace Point, without the Episcopal Church down the road, right? Without Brookside, which is just 500 yards away. We wouldn't be anything without those churches as well. But we have our part, and you have your part within our part, within the beloved, The Big C Church, the body. We cannot do this thing alone. We need each other. I said it earlier, tonight is the first night of life groups for this semester. Joining a life group means that you're joining in with other people. You meet together, you study together, you talk together, you love together, you encourage one another. Those are marks of the church. You have church together. And it's vital to being part of the church. Go online, sign up, show up, and be encouraged, and grow. That's part of the trellis, right? That's life groups. That's part of the structure. That's part of the trellis. So the first thing is that as a Christian, you are incomplete without other Christians. And the second thing is the church is how Christ accomplishes his purposes in the world. If you would ask me the question, what is the church? Why is it important? I would say, I believe the church of Jesus Christ is the most important force in the world today. I really believe that the church of Jesus Christ is the most important force, more important than any government, any university, any other organization in the world combined. There is nothing that compares to the church. And you might say that's a pretty strong statement, but think about it. The most significant event in human history was when the living God took on human flesh and lived among us in Jesus Christ in order to take our sins onto the cross, and then he died and then ascended into heaven, and now the church reveals him here on earth. As simply as I can say it, the church is important because the church reveals Christ to the world. To show the world, the hope and the love that comes through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. We are his beloved, and we are given the privilege to join his kingdom mission. As his body, as the church, we now continue his presence on earth until he returns. We sang that earlier. He's coming soon. And we are his presence until he gets here. We take on the mission to seek and save that which was lost. We take on the mission to go and make disciples of all nations and baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that he has commanded us. We show them and we love them into the kingdom of God. This is the living, breathing body of Christ, the church, the hope of the world, and nothing could be more important. It's the church, the beloved. You're the church. You're the beloved. And when we see this, when we understand that the church is how God demonstrates his power to a watching world, we no longer make her, the church, just an accessory to our lives. We won't treat her as something to just tack on or fit in whenever it works. Not a chance, because what we see is her for her true beauty. That the central part of her is God's universal plan. When we do that, we'll begin to realize that we have a part of that plan and that our identity in her, the church, just might be the most important thing about us. You are the beloved. You're the body of Christ. You're the bride of Christ. You are the family of God. And there's nothing more important. Let's pray. Father, we are amazed at how much you love us. We are amazed that you are not a passive God who sits up there and lets us do whatever we want to do. You're not a God who is just pulling all the strings, but you are a God who loves each one of us individually. You love us collectively as level 13, and you love us as your church, as the beloved. Father, I pray that you help us in our expression here at level 13. What does that mean for Fort Wayne? What does it mean for this city? What does it mean for our community, our immediate community? Help us, Father, to know that we are loved as individuals, That no matter where we've been from, no matter what's going on in our life, you accept us and you love us no matter what. Unconditionally, you love us. And thank you for allowing us to be part of the church. When the church gets such a bad rap today, help us to be a true beacon of hope. Help us to be your hands and feet. Help us to proclaim your name, the name that gives victory to everyone. We love you and we give you all the glory. In Christ's name we pray, amen.